This is a Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening for what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better, in Jesus' name. Enjoy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. If you're joining us live to Hawley Baptist Church, my name's Daz.
I'm Stu.
Welcome, Stu. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. Very well.
Good to be here with you.
Absolutely.
And welcome to you all who are joining. Don't forget to drop a message in the chat so we know you're here. This week, we are continuing our series, new series.
Yeah.
Exciting. Yep. Seven Deadly Sins.
It's a bit of controversy, and you always feel convicted after hearing this kind of stuff.
Yeah. We'll see. Always. This week, it's the sin that we're going to be looking at is pride. Oh, I think the title of the message is like the start of all sins, or the first. I did read it, I promise. So, like, pride is the start of all sins. Something like that is the idea. I don't know. And so Helen is going to be speaking to us later on.
Good morning. How are you? It's so lovely to see so many of you. We always find in the holidays numbers dip slightly. And so the last couple of weeks has been lovely, but it's so nice to see a full church once again. But so, as has been said, today we're carrying on / starting our series looking at the seven deadly sins. Martin kicked us off last week. And as he noted, this could be quite a heavy, tricky series. We could all leave being a little bit like, oh no, that was me. Feeling a bit called out, feeling a little bit picked on, feeling a bit like a failure. Really happy start. Good morning, everyone. However, I am hoping that today, yes, we will be challenged, but we will also be encouraged and uplifted. And so I'm not going to lie, when I was coming to start this sermon, I was like, oh, what do I do? What do I say? Pride. That's what actually is pride? And so I did that really standard essay opening. The Oxford English Dictionary defines pride as a high, especially an excessively high, opinion of one's own worth or importance, which gives rise to a feeling or attitude of superiority over others, inordinate self-esteem. Whew. Or arrogant, haughty, and overbearing behavior, demeanor, or treatment of others, especially exhibiting an inordinately high opinion of oneself. I'm quite proud of myself that I managed to say inordinately twice there correctly. But yes, that, just to take that middle bit, excessively high opinion of one's own worth or importance, giving rise to a feeling or attitude of superiority over others. Does this mean pride is inherently bad? Yes and no. Bear with me on this one. You must be like, yes, it is awful. It is one of the seven deadly sins. Obviously, it is really bad. Bear with me. Because actually, a lot of these seven deadly sins start in some goodness. For example, one of the others is gluttony. And now you can't tell me that food isn't great, right? Actually, God gave us food to live. God decided for us to survive, we must need food. So actually, the consumption of food isn't bad. But to excess, to the point of gluttony, to use food as an example, that's not great. Or envy. You can notice your mate's got a new car and think, that's a really nice car. Because let's be honest, new cars are quite nice. But that's okay. But being envious of it, not so much. Lust. Now, bear with me. I can appreciate that Ryan Reynolds is a beautiful man. But being lustful towards him, not ideal. We'll get to some of those in the coming weeks. But so where does that leave us with pride? So those of you that don't know me, I'm a British Sign Language interpreter. You'll often catch me stood over here on the first Sunday of the month. But it's also my 9-to-5. But this also means that I often interpret at Christian events and conferences, much like New Wine or Big Church Festival, as it's now called, Big Church Day Out, as it once was. And interpreting at Christian events, people are lovely. They often go, oh, that was really lovely, thank you. And my colleagues, who are far better than me, like, they're just far better people than me, turn around and go, oh, we were just worshipping too. Or, it was God working through me, nothing to do with me. And if I'm being really honest, I just want to say, yeah, that was me. It took me 7 years to train to do this job, the same amount of time as it takes to be a doctor. So actually, yeah, it's difficult. It's really tiring physically. It's really tiring mentally. So yeah, thanks for appreciating it, random stranger. But what actually leaves my mouth is, oh, thank you. That's really kind. Thanks for saying. And the thing is, and this is going to sound like I'm super proud and like I'm showing off and that pride is an issue, but I know that I'm good at my job, but I know that I'm not the best. I know that I'm not the only person who can do my job. I'm not more superior. I cannot get above my station to the point where I get an excessively high opinion of my own importance, which gives rise to a feeling or attitude of superiority over my over others or over my colleagues. Because acknowledging that we can do something is not the same as being full of pride about it. Because the thing is, we're called to be good at what we do. God put us on the earth with an instruction to look after it. Could you imagine if we were rubbish at it? Well, actually, if we go back to last week and Martin opening this series, we were rubbish at it. We had literally one thing we weren't allowed to eat. And what do? Go ahead and eat it. But God wants us to work harder what we do. It talks often in the Bible about us working and doing what God has told us to do. God has given us gifts, and we are called to use these gifts to help. Like me interpreting at church. Or Sue Duff is incredible with numbers and finance. So she's using that gifting to serve the church being our treasurer. John Pryor, who I've just spotted, is an incredible guitarist. And he's regularly up here just twiddling away, making everything sound so much lovely so we can access worship better. And he doesn't even have music in front of him. He's going, oh, that'll do, that'll sound right. And it's incredible. Deborah Reed, who we all know is an incredibly smart academic woman, gives lifts to some lovely ladies every Sunday so they can be a part of our church community, as well as visiting people and running around like a headless chicken. But we are called to be humble. We are called to use our gifts, to acknowledge that we have gifts, but to be humble. I think just as often as we think pride is acknowledging a skill, which it isn't, I think we sometimes get the wrong idea of what humility is too. So again, I Googled the definition of humility. And what actually is it? Not what do we think it is. What actually is humility? It's having the quality of having a modest view of one's importance. Notice it doesn't say a modest view of your skills. It doesn't say a modest view of your role. It doesn't say a modest view of your work, but just a modest view of your importance. As I say, I'm an all right interpreter, but there are 100 good interpreters who could just as well do my job. I know that sounds like not very many, but interpreting is a really small profession. 100 is actually quite a lot in the area. I'm not diminishing what I can do, but this doesn't make me a better person than any of my colleagues. So I have a list of 5 things that humility is not to help us understand what it is. So 1, humility is not denying the gifts and graces that God has given you. Much like we've already said, it's important to know what you're gifted in. Realize that you are called to help and you are called to serve others. Humility is not putting yourself down. It is being sober in your assessment and walking in the acknowledgement of God's grace. It's using what God has given you for his glory. 2, humility is not a lack of direction, desire, or godly ambition. It's not wrong to want to be used of God or advance the kingdom of God. In fact, that's great. God wants you to do great things for him. He's not glorified by a losing or defeatist mentality. How often do we go, oh, someone will be better than me at that, so therefore I won't. That isn't humility. That's potentially not stepping up to what God has called you to do. Because number three is humility is not denying the work of God within you or within the church. Number four is humility is not the pursuit of mediocrity. You should pursue excellence, but not with the motivation of calling attention to yourself or trying to impress people. Humility allows you to enjoy the gifts of God without trying to impress others. How often do we feel that pressure to try and impress others? People of my age and my generation especially, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, guys down here, our social media feeds are full of people being like, oh, look where I am. Isn't this amazing? Oh, aren't I great? I just had a baby 6 weeks ago and look, I'm already in a bikini sort of thing, right? Yeah, see, Dan gets it. But that's not what it is. It takes away that pressure of trying to impress others because we're striving to do what God calls us to do. And number five, humility is not denying or backing away from the truth. You are called to be righteous. You are called to be humble. You are responsible to speak truth in love without being self-righteously critical. Because I think sometimes we can fall into what I've deemed the humility trap. We find ourselves thinking so little of ourselves that actually we're not worthy of God's love. We think ourselves not worthy of God's love. And I'm going to be really blunt. That's rubbish. We are all worthy of God's love. You are great. Every single one of you in this building, on the live stream, hi guys, by the way, or listening to our podcast later, you are great. Ephesians 2 states how we are God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. The Bible talks time and time again about how God views us as his children, that we are loved, cherished, protected by him. If you read the creation story in Genesis, God created the earth. And he took 6 days to do so and one to rest. Let's just do a quick recap. I'm going to check you guys are still awake. On the first day, there was light. And God said it was good. Well done. On the second day, the sky and air. And he said it was bit more enthusiasm. This is the creation story, guys. This is quite impressive. On the third day, there was land and plants, and he said it was better. I hope you're doing it in screen two as well. On the fourth day, there was the sun and the moon, and he said it was. On the fifth day, birds and aquatic animals, he said it was. On the sixth day, animals and man, and he said it was. No. Yes. He said it was very good. Gotcha. If I say all of these cakes are good, but that one is very good, which is the best? Which is my favorite? That cake, right? Now, I imagine that many of you listening have a garden, and you're really happy with your garden, what you've done with it. The plants are growing nicely, the decking is level, or maybe you've just cut the grass. Well, God did a whole earth just like that. He made it from scratch, and he called it good. Then he created us, each and every one of us, and said that we were even better than that. We are very good. So yes, be humble, but also don't fall into that humility trap. Remember your worth. Remember that you are great. God thinks so, and I think so too. Also, this creation story, shows, that's three words that shouldn't go together, creation story shows how it is okay to be happy with our work. God sat back and was happy with what he had done. He looked at it and went, that's pretty good. That is allowed. God wasn't going, ha, 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 check out what I did, right? God wasn't full of pride. He was acknowledging his work. I go rock climbing with Lucy, Abby, Daz, a few others of us. And recently, I did quite a difficult climb. It was hard, not going to lie, and I did it. And did I come down and be like, hey, check? Actually, yeah, I did, I'm not going to lie. I did come down and was quite proud of myself. But actually, I was taking delight in what I had done. I wasn't going, I'm better than you, I did it, you didn't. That's not how this goes. We're allowed to rejoice in the things that we have done. So we're meant to be humble. We're called not to be proud. We are called not to boast, which goes hand in hand with these things. Except in one thing. This runs throughout the Bible, and still now we talk about this. We read it in the Old Testament. So before Jesus came, Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight. Then the New Testament, which is the second part of the Bible. So after Jesus had been around, Paul, basically a guy who really hated Christians, I can imagine he was probably one of the most proud men to have ever walked on this earth, had a miraculous chance encounter with Jesus. Well, chance to him, it wasn't Jesus, he very much planned it out. And he became a Christian. And then he wrote these words in a letter he wrote to a church, which we can read in the Bible, in the book of Galatians. He wrote, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Then skip on a good number of years and we get to 1707. And Isaac Watts wrote one of my favorite hymns in all the world, which is When I Survey, which has got the line that ends it, well, in the middle of it. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ, my God. And then in 1995, which, okay, I know for some of you feels really recently, I was three. So for me, it's quite a long time ago, comparatively. Another brilliant hymn was written, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And that's got another brilliant line in it. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. There is one thing we must be proud of. There is one thing we must boast about, and that is our relationship with and knowledge of God, our relationship and knowledge of Jesus. We can have a relationship with the incredible creator of the universe. That guy who made us, who said, very good. We can know him personally. We can know the God who came and died in our place. So we can be forgiven for all the rubbish that we have done, all the rubbish that we are doing now, and all the rubbish that we will continue to do, undoubtedly. For all that pride that we feel, for all the times we boasted in other things. We are forgiven. And as far as I'm concerned, and as far as Paul's concerned, that's pretty cool. And something to worth shouting about. Something that we can be proud of. But why can we shout about that? What makes that different? If pride is bad and we're not allowed to boast, then why can I boast about this? Because it's a little bit different, let's be honest. And let me show you why. Let's go back to that very original definition of pride that I started with. An excessively high opinion of one's own worth or importance, which gives rise to a feeling or attitude of superiority over others. Because when it comes to God, there is no sense of superiority over others. It's something that is open to every single person. exactly the same. Every single one of us can access it exactly the same. It's not a limited run. It's not a case of, I've got a relationship with Jesus. It's not that. It's, look, I've got a relationship with Jesus. Do you want in? Come and find out what he's about. Let me tell you about him. This is great. I'm in. Come and join me. Get in too. It's an invitation. It's something that every single one of us is welcome into. And I think we have a habit of getting this mixed up, especially in England. We are often proud of our accomplishments, happy to shout about what we did, want to make everyone aware of that great thing. Make sure that you get the credit in that work meeting for that initiative that's working really well, but so-and-so's taken the credit for. But then often we hide away our relationship with God. We make sure that everyone knows that we have a new car, but we aren't so good at making sure that everyone knows Jesus. So we're just going to spend some time just thinking about this, reflecting on this, and then there's going to be a chance to respond. Let's just think about these questions. Do you fall into the humility trap, thinking that you can't be acknowledged for being great? Who are you going to boast about Jesus to this week? What are you more proud of? Your things, your skills, or your relationship with God?
There we go. Oh, that was good.
It was.
I don't like a good challenge at the end there.
Yeah.
A really good challenge at the end there.
It's very thought-provoking.
Yeah. And we argued about which question we're going to do.
But absolutely.
We're going to do the last one.
Yeah, okay.
All right, that's fine. A good one. What are you most proud of? Your things, your skills, or your relationship with God? That's a tough challenge because I think, I'll go first this time, Stu, I'll let you off. I think I'm most proud of my skills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because there's some things in my life that I've had to work hard at. Like, I was a very shy kid, and like having social skills was something that just didn't come like naturally to me. But now I think, relatively speaking, I have like pretty good social skills. But I had to work really hard. Yeah. Like, if you'd met me as a small child, you wouldn't believe the confidence I have now, which sounds like really arrogant. Like, oh, I'm so, but compared to how I was, like, I feel quite proud of the work I had to put in. And I don't necessarily think I would boast so freely with everybody about my relationship with God, which is a big challenge. Like, I'm thinking now, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Like, what do you think? What are you most proud of? Your skill? My thing, like, I'm definitely not.
Because we kind of touched on it earlier, and sort of, it's having that balance, that understanding of kind of what you're proud of and why, and just not letting it become this big thing that kind of just overtakes everything else.
Yeah.
Because as Helly was, alluding to, kind of, just there's so much to be, proud of, kind of like in your life, and God has given you purposes and reasons for doing things, and kind of, gifts and talents and that kind of stuff. And, you can take pride in that, but there's nothing wrong with also just feeling that, that kick, that sort of, joy that comes from other things in life, because God intends to live life to the full. It's not just like this one thing. I think perhaps people get hung up over it.
What do you think it looks like to to be proud of your relationship with God? Like, what in like real life? What would it, if I was like gonna boast in Christ? Like, what would that look and sound like?
I think I
struggle to like find the context in which I understand what that means. I think as well. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out now.
Yeah, so I think it's very much about like if you.
So like when you go to work tomorrow,
yeah.
Like what? How would if you were good to go and like boast in,
yeah,
in Christ? What would that like actually literally look like?
Okay, so I guess you can talk. I mean, so yeah, I could go. I can, you know, talk to my work colleagues and kind of just be chatting about like how awesome like church was and kind of like how much kind of got out of it. This is what we're talking about. Kind of this is just kind of this really kind of made a big impact on kind of it really sort of changed my perspective, that kind of thing.
So they go and they say like, how was your weekend? You say like, it was great. I went to church and we talked about sin, but then like it made me think. I was trying to frame it in my head to make sense. So you see, you can say like, when we talk about just being forgiven by Jesus, and I'm like, that's so great, and I just feel amazing after that weekend. Would that be like boasting in? You think that's boasting in Christ? Is that what that means?
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I think that would be good, but is that what it would mean to boast in Christ, is to say Jesus is just great, and I've had a great weekend because I was reminded of how great Jesus is. Is that the kind of thing that would be? That's the kind of boasting we want to be doing.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trying to do that, I think.
And I think because it's obviously being Christian is never particularly easy, and just kind of there's so many ups and downs and stuff, and you can boast of how God sustains you through that, because. Life is never ever straightforward, simple, easygoing, whatever. It's not that.
No way.
You can boast of God's faithfulness. There you go. That's something which you can always reflect on. Yeah.
Rather than, it's so funny that Helen mentioned climbing as well, because we do go climbing together.
I was going to say you're climbing buddies.
And Helen crushes it climbing. She's really good, and she should feel proud. But yeah, I think. I would much more readily go and tell everybody I climbed a 60 plus climb like this weekend and I feel amazed about that than say to them, we talked about being forgiven at church and it made me feel amazing. Like, I don't think that's going to take some braveness.
Yeah, I mean, but just because, it's just kind of obviously society tries to marginalize church and faith as much as possible or relegate it to the extremes.
Does it really, or is that our... Like, is that my social sort of anxiety playing tricks on me, or do you think that's a real thing?
No, totally not. That's a real thing.
Yeah, because that's the struggle. As I say, I was such a shy kid, so I struggle to know whether it's my own social story that tells me like people don't want to hear about Jesus, or whether it's true that actually people, if I start saying that kind of thing, people are going to just switch off.
Well, actually, I think we have to be very careful about like perception of that, because if you watch news media, TV, that kind of thing, any other sort of secular program, it's always going to be very just kind of just trying to minimize any aspects of faith, or as I said, they'll always go to looking at the extremes, regardless of whatever faith they're talking about, they will always try and categorize it as sort of like on the extreme end of things, just because that makes good TV or whatever.
Extreme opinions, I'm more interested in middle of the road opinions, I guess.
Yeah, totally. So you'll probably never really see any particularly positive coverage of anything to do with faith on sort of on TV or whatever, just because that doesn't bring ratings, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? So you have to be quite careful about kind of what individual people feel, as opposed to what you might be fed by news media, etc. Or TV or any other media, I suppose.
Yeah, and be aware of the way that affects our
absolutely
mindset around it.
Yeah, totally. I think that's quite key.
Good chat. I could talk for ages about this, but we're not going to, because this can't go on forever. That was good. I was interested to know, and no, I'll ask any more questions. If you've got more questions, and I have.
You can
email us and we will definitely respond to that. People want to this. Here's the email address, gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. If you would love to know more about
stuff Helen said, or you just she's left you with loads more questions, you can get in contact that way. What else do I need to tell you? That's right. If you found this helpful, share it with somebody. You can hit a button somewhere around this video you're watching right now, and you can share it with people who find it interesting. We would love it if you did that. You can subscribe to my channel as well. That's a cool bonus.
That was today's episode of Hawley Baptist Church Podcast. We hope it's prompted you to want to follow Jesus, hopefully a lot, but even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us, gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and you can download the Hawley Baptist Church app from the Apple App Store or Google Play to hear it as well. Simply search Hawley Baptist Church. Thank you again for listening to Hawley Baptist Church Podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we'll see you next time.